Hello and welcome into another edition of 90 Day Our Way. I'm one half of your co-hosts. I'm John.
And I'm the other half. I'm Lindsay.
And thank you all for joining us. We do want to first apologize for missing last week. It was a little bit chaotic here. We had traveling. We had an AC leaking everywhere. So it was a fun-filled week for us.
Yeah, so I took a red-eye Sunday night, landed Monday morning. Obviously, that's how a red-eye works. And I came back, I napped, and I woke up, and then I was told that there was water coming out from our ceiling.
Yeah, it was fun.
So we have been dealing with that for a week. It seems to be all set and good, but I know most of you are probably like, oh, they just gave up, but we ain't going nowhere, bitches. So
so we won't fully recap last week. We, as we go through the couples, we'll probably tie stuff in together, as we usually do. So with that being said, thank you all for joining us for this week. And we are going to go ahead and kick it off with everyone's favorite, Bilal and Shida.
I don't think they're anyone's favorite. Were they even in last week's episode?
Very briefly.
Okay.
I believe. So we start off this episode with them, and they have not yet had the baby talk, even though that's literally the only thing they've talked about.
So Shida is focusing on her yoga and invites Bilal to join her yoga class while he's in a business meeting, sitting on the couch under a blanket.
It's pretty hilarious. So we find out that Shida is waiting on her visa, and then they go into the class, and Bilal's flexibility is an F, and Shida is very flexible. And
it wink, is wink, nudge, nudge.
And it is nice in more ways than one.
It's repulsive, and I did not want to know any of that.
I mean, I think we all kind of can insinuate that from the fact that she is obsessed with yoga, so I think we all kind of knew that. But it was pretty funny once Bilal started playing the fart noises on his phone during the yoga class. I thought it was pretty hilarious. I'm sure others did not, but I thought it was funny because I'm a child.
Literally, me and John, laugh about farts all the time. So this was one of Bilal's good jokes. It made me audibly laugh out loud, and I think it was a good prank, quote unquote.
I thought it was pretty funny. You never know when the pranks are coming is how he positioned it, and it's been a couple weeks since a good Bilal prank, so
the last prank I think
we got one.
What was the last prank?
Oh god,
I don't even know.
Yeah, I forget. It's been a while, so it was definitely time for one. But then we see that Shida's employment card has come in the mail. And obviously the first thing she thinks of is that now they can go look at places for her to lease for her yoga studio.
Oh, she's ready to start her business. And Bilal tells her that there are steps to starting a business. It's not like in Trinidad where you can just go and like start one. Like you need to establish a line of credit and a bank account. It's wild to me that she didn't have any of these things in America, by the way.
But also, like, what has she been doing since she's been here?
Talking about babies.
Okay, well, like, she could have done all these other things to build up to this so that then when this happened, she was ready to go.
You think that's gonna happen? Come on now, babe.
Well, I'm just saying that would have been the proper thing to do instead of waiting for your card. And then when your card's here, be like, oh, we can go buy this place for me to teach yoga. It's like, no, it's not really how it's work. And then Bilal also brings up a good point. Like, how is she going to start her yoga business and have a child at the same time?
Yeah, I agree with that. It's just kind of like, let's not, like, let's focus on one thing instead of the other.
Yeah, do you want to start the business or do you want to have a child? I think she's so fixated on the fact that she believes that she can do both, but it's a lot of factors, especially with her coming to the U.S., learning the different customs and all that, and building business here is very difficult, especially when you don't have a single client or any sort of a client base established already. So I think he made a good point in that sense.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It's like you need to make money before you even start the business, and Shrida doesn't seem to grasp that at all.
No, but she's got the Bilal checkbook, so she's ready to go.
The Bank of Bilal.
I like that. Bank of Bilal. It's a good one.
Did you notice how slow he talks when he's trying to explain something?
Yeah, it's like his mannerisms and everything completely change.
He's like, and then we need to go to the bank. It's like talking to a child.
It's like in Seinfeld, they have the low talker. He's the slow talker.
He's so fucking slow. So then Shrida says that Bilal is treating her. He's treating her like an infant. It was like, well, you kind of are. You don't know the business side of things in America. You right. don't know how children cost money. Like, you don't know things that are happening here. So I don't blame him for treating you like you don't know, because you don't.
No, not at all. It's like she's relearning everything she's known. So it's like, yes, you understand like how money and things work in Trinidad, but now you need to know how money and things work here in America. So it's very different in that sense. So I think that's kind of that educational, I guess, like learning curve for her that she's not really adapting to very well. And it's like when you don't really have anything else to do, like that should come a lot faster than it is.
Yeah, 100%. But Bilal is just happy that she's focused on the business because he doesn't have to hear about babies anymore.
Right. No, 100%. I totally agree with that. And he even mentions like this is, you know, one of those ways for her to kind of like occupy her time. Like he does think it's too early, but it is something that gives her something positive to do. And then that's when she does go tour. So she tours that space with the coworkers that Bilal has from the real estate office. So they go window shopping.
But they're definitely not signing a lease today.
Oh, hell no.
But they like go see this place and it's really nice. And then they show them, they show her like next door. They're like, oh, you can bring another business. And then it's like a co-op and they pay you rent and everything. It was like, she doesn't even understand that, like, you need to establish a business before you even start any of this.
Yeah, I don't think she had, like, any concept or, like, any grasp of that whatsoever.
Not at all.
So that was definitely something that was going to have to be, like, changed or modified. And it goes back to that whole learning curve thing. Like, she didn't really understand everything. And she was like, oh, I wish it was just, like, this front part. And
yeah,
she was mentioning to them, like, oh, yeah, like, you have, like, the eye for design and stuff. It's like, have you not thought of how your studio would look?
I'm so confused by it. And then the ladies from the office ask her, like, oh, have you guys been talking about a baby? She's like, yeah, I really want one. And they're like, well, you're going to have a baby and a business? Like,
right.
It's
no,
a lot to deal with.
Yeah, and I think that's the whole thing. Like, she's not really understanding that.
Not at all.
She thinks it's going to be so easy to be able to handle both of those things, and it's not whatsoever. So I think she's in for a rude awakening, and I don't think Bilal is shy either about saying anything that's really on his mind, to be honest. So that's definitely, you know, one situation for him, which is good. And then these are also a lot of transitions that are happening, which they alluded to. And Shida says how she wants Bilal to see the big picture and how she can be a mom and run the business. And it's like, well, you've shown that, like, you can't even keep the house clean.
And you, I feel like she thinks she needs to, like, prove herself to Bilal. Like, yeah. Oh, I can do all of this. I can be a mom. I can be a business owner. I can do this. And, like, Bilal doesn't give a fuck.
No, not at all.
He, like, just wants you and that's it. Like, he doesn't want you to do anything else. Just be a stay-at-home wife to him.
Yeah. Like, and she's like, oh, no, well, I can do this and, like, this. And I don't know. It's like, well, maybe you should show how you can do this and then build off of that instead of just constantly attacking him about doing XYZ. At least that's my thought.
I agree. Like, why don't we do yoga in the backyard? Or she was teaching virtual classes to her students in Trinidad. Like, do a virtual yoga class where you actually get paid.
I think she views it, and she mentioned this too, like, oh, this will be, like, my money.
But it's not.
I know. That's the whole thing. It's like, Bilal is putting up all the startup costs and everything for the
studio.
But
it's in the contract. It's in the contract.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's move on. I'm sick of them.
All right, who do you want to go to next?
Let's go to Jovi.
Oh, Jovi and Yara in Prague. So, fun-filled day for them. So, they're going to look at an apartment. Yara doesn't even know how many bedrooms this apartment has.
So last week, if you didn't watch and you desperately missed our recap, Yara and Jovi are in Prague, which we know about already. And Yara was going to see apartments with her mom and not telling Jovi about it. And then she ends up telling Jovi and Jovi is pissed. And he, like, goes, like, storms out to take a shower, and his poor champagne is just sitting there. That's your recap. So they're going to look at apartments together, and she's like, I want a 3-bedroom, or, you know, Jovi asks, like, how many bedrooms? And she's like, well, my mom said, like, she would stay with us, so 3, and I want it for $150, $150,000 or less, and blah, 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 blah. So they go to look at this apartment, and it is worse than Bilal's family home.
Yeah, it was a dump.
Studio.
It was a studio. Jovi was also pissed, and we'll probably talk about this a couple times throughout this because it's a reoccurring theme, but Jovi didn't like that Yara was just making these decisions, and decisions especially like this should be made as a family, which he does not appreciate.
Okay, but devil's advocate here, he also left when they needed to move in New Orleans, and he made her make all those decisions. And then he got pissed off at her decisions, but he made her do them.
Yeah. But also, like, she picked the place.
She did pick the place.
And all that because she didn't want to be in New Orleans anymore.
I understand, but he was like, I don't care where we live. Like, I'm at work, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but he wanted to remain in that area. So they had discussed and talked about where specifically they would stay, which would be near New Orleans.
Oh, whatever.
This is another country.
Oh, whatever.
So we come to find out this place... This is what I wrote. $164,000 for a dump.
Mm-hmm.
This was a dump.
I said, apartment is bad and small for $164,000. Also,
ridiculous.
Yara wants this apartment to help the people fleeing from the Ukraine.
She's like in La La Land.
And for help with Mila when Jovi is at work.
So... Hearing all of this, Jovi thinks and believes that this will discourage Yara. Yara doesn't plan and just thinks that she'll get her way. And newsflash, that did not happen today, which I thought was pretty funny.
I will say, for someone who needs help with Mila, both Olga and Yara did not put Mila's seat car seat incorrectly at all in that car. So,
fair enough.
Jovi calls Miss Gwen. Thank God.
Love Miss Gwen.
To complain about the apartment shopping. And Jovi doesn't know how Yara is going to want
to... Wait.
Oh, am I skipping places? Sorry.
Yeah, so Yara's mom wanted her to have the apartment close to her. And she says how every woman has to be independent.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
But yet, your classification of independent is that I have to move to get extra help. So how is that independent? Independent means by yourself.
So it seems like, and we'll get to this like later, that Yara just wants this apartment to like have her own thing.
Yeah.
And not be stuck with nothing. And that's how it seems like her mom is also positioning it. But that's not the truth at all. Like, why don't you buy a fucking house in America? And then if you guys divorce, you can split that. You can make a profit. It's a genius idea. Let me tell you.
No, I completely agree. It's, and they say it later, but it's kind of what her mom's husband did to her. So she doesn't want that done to her. But it's like, okay, that was also how many years ago? Jovi's not that, like all this stuff. So I think it's just like past things that are coming up. And she's thinking the worst when she doesn't have to.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So then that scene ends, and then we get to Jovi still being irritated, and he FaceTimes Miss Gwen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So back to Miss Gwen. Jovi says he doesn't know how Yara's gonna leave Europe because she... Like, he's nervous that she's not going to want to leave, which Miss Gwen has been harping on forever, and she knew this was going to happen. And then Jovi thinks Yara wants to plan a new life without him.
And Miss Gwen thinks all of this is fucked up.
I know. When she cursed, I was like, Miss Gwen.
And she even said, like, what is she going to do when you're not there? And Yara's planning all these things without Jovi, so... And then Jovi even says, like, he doesn't want to move to Europe. And Yara says, and then him and Yara talk, and he says how Yara thinks that she was going just to look. But it's like, if you're going just to look, that means that, like, you have an idea of this is what you want to do. You don't just go look at an apartment to just look at an apartment.
Yeah, you like, look to buy an apartment.
Yeah, you don't just go and waste your time with a couple hours of your day. And then he also mentions how he talked to his mom about the situation, which I thought was like, I don't know, good and bad. I probably wouldn't tell my significant other that, like, I don't think I would tell you, like, hey, I called Tina and complained about you. Like, I don't think I would do that.
If you did, I'd be like, well, what the fuck did you say?
Right. Yeah. I feel like that's only going to create like more animosity between the two of them.
I mean, like, I think every person calls their mom and like complains about their day or their significant other or their friends or anything. Yeah. And like 99% of the time when I complain about John to my mom is like, well, he's an asshole, because that's just like her endearing way of saying, like, to get over it.
Yeah, but I also am, so.
Well, yeah. Okay. And also, you need to understand that, like, my mom and John have, like, a great relationship, and, like, she, like, talks shit, but she's rude to him, and, like, he just feeds right back to her.
Yes. So, this is when we get to the part of how Yara is telling Jovi, like, she doesn't want to lose everything if something were ever to happen between them. And Jovi thinks that Yara's mom is influencing her decisions, which I agree with him on that. And I also think that a lot of this goes back to how we mentioned, like, this is what happened to Yara's mom, so she doesn't want it to happen to you. But Jovi even mentioned it, like, in America, everything's 50-50 if you get divorced. Like
they didn't sign a fucking prenup,
yeah,
contract, Bilal, Shida style.
So I would assume that in Europe, it's probably not the same. I also don't know. So that would just be my thinking and my understanding is that you're not really entitled to anything. Whereas here in the States, if you don't have any documentation saying this is mine, that's hers, it's 50-50 down the line. And that's just the way it goes.
Also, Yara says at one point that Jovi throws in her face that he spends money, like spending money on strippers. And I don't remember the other examples she provided, but
alcohol probably.
Probably. But essentially, like what she was saying is that he will make money and then spend it on things. And he's like, well, it's my money, so I'm going to spend it the way I want to spend it, which like is a little fucked up when you're married.
Yeah. I would say. Yeah, if you're married and just one person is working, I would say that one person probably has a little more say in how it goes, but it's definitely not like I'm working, so it's my money, and like I have 100% control.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say maybe like 55-45, but not 100% to zero, or even like 75-25, because that's just going to create so many problems.
So many problems.
And it's just going to keep popping back up and everything like that. But anything else from these two?
I don't think so. I'm sick of their storyline.
Wow. Sick of Yara and Jovi.
Yeah, because it's the same shit. Okay, guys. We're back to Lindsay being negative. We got to switch this shit up. We got to turn it up. We got to, like... I think that's why I like Before the 90, because it's like you start high and then there's a little lull and then the story switches right away.
Yeah, that's true.
This is just like, oh, we want a baby, or I want a baby. He doesn't want a baby. I want a baby. He doesn't want a baby. Oh, I want to move to Europe. He doesn't want to move to Europe. I want to move to Europe. Oh.
Fair.
We got married. His family doesn't like me. Like, oh, my husband might get deported because my family doesn't like him for fucking 7 years in a row. Oh, let me abuse my husband on a national television and get zero repercussions from it.
All right, so who do you want to talk to next?
All right, let's talk about Usman and Kimbali.
Wow, that was aggressive.
You're welcome.
So Kimbali and Usman, aka Soulja Boy.
International.
So Usman is going to meet a girl that he might marry while Kim is there. Kim is extremely upset that Usman did not push harder for Kim to be the first wife, and Usman just says that he is trying to respect his mother's wishes.
Kim needs to realize, needs to, Kim, real. There we go. Kim realizes, I think I had a stroke for a second. Kim realizes she needs to let him go for respect for his mom. So literally this woman decided that, oh, for her to respect me, and approve of us, I need to let him meet this other chick.
Which is a wild concept.
Yeah, wild. So then Kim's like, hey, like, I really want to speak to Jamal. Like, can you leave me alone? Which, in turn, turns into her preparing to propose to Usman tonight. Also, in this entire scene, Usman was wearing an OF shirt, which is a Tyler, the Creator, like, thing. I don't know what their, like, gang thing is, but...
OnlyFans?
It's not OnlyFans.
I don't know. What other OF is there?
I don't know what it's called. I'm not, like, hip anymore.
You're not hip anymore? You gotta look it up while we discuss.
Yeah. OF, Tyler.
Very, but yeah.
Hold up.
Oh, I'm holding.
I don't know where it is. Okay, go ahead.
All right, so Like you said, Kim calls Jamal without
Usman. No, what? She didn't call Jamal yet. She's proposing.
Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't call Jamal yet.
Oh, okay. Oh, I had my notes. Oh, okay. I see. My notes are mixed up. My apologies. So Kim is going to propose to Usman. Okay, here we go. Wow. Oh my God. What is going on here? And then we get to the will you marry me? And Usman responds with, I never expected this. Yes, 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 yes. And he says how it's so touching and romantic and he feels loved. And if this doesn't work, that Kim will be the second wife.
Oh, it's Odd Future. That's their gang, like, name.
Nice.
Okay, anyway, sorry. So Kim says that Usman needs to work his charm and make her the first wife.
Which I don't blame her for wanting to be the first wife. No. I mean, she's gone through so much shit already, and the fact that she's even willing to allow him to have another wife, I think is saying a lot about her. So that's kind of where I would be.
I agree with that. So the next day, Usman is getting dressed and he asks Kim if he looks nice. I'm like, sir, you're going on a date with another woman.
Who's like 30 years younger than Kim.
Yeah. And so
he says how he's just doing what his mom wants him to do. And then he leaves and Kim tells him, don't have fun at all.
Sorry. And so Kimberly says she's breaking her heart. He's breaking her heart. But, you know, she's cool with the second wife.
Yeah, I don't understand. There's a lot of like different things going on. And Kim is irritated also that Usman's not really fighting for her as much as he could be, especially with fighting for her to be the first wife no matter what. It seems like he's telling Kim one thing, telling his mom another thing. So
I don't know. So she goes and FaceTimes Jamal, her son, mm-hmm. who he is the only person in 90-day history with a brain.
Solid foundation.
Solid. Which, like, I don't know how that happened with Kimberly being his mom, but
wow.
I mean, she's fucking, like, in La La Land. And he needs to bring her back to Earth. Like, it's weird.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
So she tells Jamal about the meetup with his mom and how they didn't get the blessing and how the mom wants Usman to marry someone from his region who's younger, who can have kids before he marries Kimberly. But, you know, she's not going to be anyone's second wife. And Jamal, quote, says, what's the point of being the first wife?
Yeah, if you're going to have multiple wives, like, what does it even matter at that point? I thought that was a great, I've kind of thought that in a sense, but the way, like, he said it was even better than the way that I could have said it. And I was like, damn, like, that's exactly what I was thinking. Like, what does it even matter?
No, exactly. Like, he's not,
if you're one or five, like, what does it matter?
He's not choosing you over her and like in the order or anything. Like, it's just fucking wild. So then after all of this complaining about the meetup, complaining about the first wife, second wife, blah blah blah, Kim says, well, I proposed to him last night and he said yes.
And he is just like, what?
He goes, what the fuck? And then I think he realizes he's on camera. He's like, oh, sorry. But he's like, why?
Yeah, like, why would you do that?
Why would you do that? And then he goes, what was the point of this trip? That you went over there to get the blessing so that you and Usman can get married, and you didn't get the blessing,
yep.
but you still proposed to him.
Yep.
And she was like, oh, yeah, you're right. And then he was like, do you realize he's disrespecting his mom and disobeying his mom by accepting your proposal? And still going to, like, appease her when he's already disobeyed her. Like, what do you think he's going to do to you?
Yeah, he's saying how, like, he doesn't want to disrespect or disobey his mom, but yet he already did by saying yes to you in this situation.
Exactly.
And not telling her about it, and now going to this meeting to... So it's like he's putting on a face for the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of what we've been saying all along.
Kimberly was like, oh shit, you're right.
You like, are right, Mr. Jamal.
And we were like, yeah, we know.
But yeah, Jamal seems like he really does know like what's going on. So I don't know. I hope she figures it out, because I think she's a really good-hearted person and I feel for her, but at the same time, like, it's the same shit over and over again. And like, at some point, like, you gotta just be like, this is insanity. Like, it's the same thing going on and on. So at some point, like, you gotta piss her, get off the pot, as they say. I don't know if you've ever heard that reference.
I've literally never heard that in my life.
Yeah. So there you go. Now you got a new reference in your toolbox.
Piss or the pot.
Yeah. You gotta piss or get off the pot. It's like you're sitting on the toilet. You're just sitting there. You're not doing anything.
But men don't sit on the toilet.
It's an expression.
Can you see?
Not every expression makes perfect sense.
Can you see why Jonathan gets so mad at me all the time? It doesn't make sense.
Who said it had to make sense?
I did.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
Don't F off.
Andre and Libby, the best couple on the show.
That is a far stretch, but okay.
They're not? Who is?
Jenny and Smith.
No, they're not. Come on. They've had the same issue for 5 years.
Like 10 years.
Not resolved. So Andre.
You
and
think
Libby,
Andre and Libby are the best couple on the show?
They're the most entertaining. They seem the most like... Yeah.
On Happily Ever After?
On this season that we're doing.
Okay, all right.
They're the most...
Jovin Yara?
No, Andre and Libby are better.
Wow, all right.
So they're going to the Grand Canyon with their dads to announce the pregnancy. Libby doesn't want to share with her sisters, and Andre thinks someone called immigration on him.
So they want the dads to know first, and then they're going to post on social media...
Because they love their dads more than anything.
And the sisters will find out from social media.
Which is hysterical, and I love it, and it's a great move.
So Libby and Andre are writing these signs on, like, oak tag. Did you used to call it that?
Oak tag?
Oak tag.
No, we just called it, like, poster board.
Oh, we called it oak tag. And Andre was going to write, we're pregnant.
Yeah.
But Libby hates when people say, when men say, we're pregnant.
I kind of understood what she said. I'm somebody that would say, my wife is pregnant. I wouldn't say, we're pregnant. Because like she said, the female is the one carrying the child.
But you had a large part in the child.
Right. No,
so
I agree with that.
We are pregnant.
I don't know. I'm indifferent about
it. Okay, me and Jonathan also had this discussion this past week. So
I'm indifferent about it.
I literally said to him, yeah, when we're pregnant. And he said, when we're pregnant? And I was like, yeah, when we're having a baby.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's the same as we're pregnant.
No, we're having a baby. We're expecting. You're pregnant. We'll take this offline.
I hate... We're expecting. Like, what are you expecting? And a fucking Amazon package? Like, what are you expecting?
Yes.
I am, though, actually. That's my baby.
So, Andre...
Oh, but they're arguing over the sign.
Yes.
That was the whole point of that.
And then we did the same thing they did. So, there you go. And now you see why we resonate with them. Anyways, so Andre has always wanted to go to the Grand Canyon. He's seen it in the movies, and it's a very American thing to do.
It's the American dream, seeing the Grand Canyon. I will say, sidebar, I have also seen the Grand Canyon, but I actually didn't see the Grand Canyon because there was a massive fucking blizzard when I went to see the Grand Woo! Canyon, and I was on the rim of it, and I couldn't see 2 feet in front of me.
That sounds very exciting.
It was really exciting, especially driving up to where the Grand Canyon is. It's a two-lane road, and there was cars that were spun out everywhere. So it was really fun, and we were in a Honda Civic, me and my dad.
Hell yeah. I used to go drifting in my Honda Accord back in the day. That was always fun.
All right, anyway, so they got to the Grand Canyon.
Oh, what? You forgot the best line.
What?
Once they're done yelling at each other, Andre just slams down the Sharpie. Make your own damn signs, and don't involve me with this crap. I was like, hell yeah, just don't even make the signs. Have her make them. Step to the side, my guy.
Also, this was before the signs. I like how he comes in and he's like, okay, pack for me.
Yeah, that was funny.
Like, the fuck? And then
he's got no undies.
No undies because he didn't wash his underwear.
Free balling all trip.
So they get to the Grand Canyon. It looks absolutely beautiful. And they're like, all right, we're going to hold these signs. Dad, you're going to take pictures. And they hold up the signs. The signs are fucking so dumb. Like, it is not. It should have been one sign English, one sign Romanian.
Yeah.
And then, like, Ellie could have held, like,
the word baby. Yeah.
Instead, they did English up top, Romanian on the bottom, but on two separate times.
Yeah.
Two separate signs. So it said, like, we're having, and then on the bottom it said, like, we're having in Romanian, but the first word, I guess, we're, looked like not, like, N-O-T. So Chuck, so they turn around the signs.
He was so confused.
He's like, we're having not. What?
Yeah, he had no idea. He was so confused. He had like that mouth open, just like, what is happening look in his eye. I thought it was pretty hilarious.
I saw a meme from 90 Day Twitter last night, which was like that woman, or that gif, that the woman is like staring and then it's all like the math equations around her and stuff. That is what Chuck's face was.
I also want to say that they rented a really nice Cadillac Escalade, and they also were all wearing cowboy hats, which I thought was hysterical.
They were all but the only person who looked good in the cowboy hat was Andre's dad. He looked like a BAMF. Like, he looked amazing.
I always forget his name. Stefan?
I don't know what his name
Stefan, something like that. But no, it was, I thought it was pretty funny. Also nice they got a direct flight to the Grand Canyon out of Tampa. So, congrats.
Did they?
Yeah, they had a direct flight, they said. Chuck met him at the airport.
Oh, they flew Southwest, that's why.
Oh, look at that. Plug.
Father name. I'm trying to find his dad's name.
It's all right. So we get to the last scene of them, and Chuck has finally figured it out. It is totally unexpected. Chuck cannot believe it. He's just so overcome with joy, and they got him really good, he says.
I really wish that he cried like he did when the fight happened.
My family. So Chuck thinks that everyone is going to feel slighted though at this point, because Libby and Andre are posting it on social media before, you know, calling the family, the sisters, the mother, and telling them before they post on social media, which they probably will feel slighted, and they should feel slighted. And Libby and Andre have agreed that they feel like this is the best route at this point in time for them and for their family. And I agree.
I do agree with that as well.
Because Becky, Jen, and Charlie can kick rocks.
And we see a flashback that Andre told Chuck that he thinks the family reported him.
Mm-hmm.
And Chuck seems shook.
That was a while back too.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, Chuck just wants them to clear it up with the family, which, like, fuck the family. And then their scene ends.
Yeah. But outside of that, I think that was pretty much it for them. It was kind of just the build up to that point in time. Anything else from them or anybody else in this episode that you think we missed, you want to touch upon?
I don't think so. It was, I will say this episode was rather entertaining.
I think there was a lot, but also kind of a lot about nothing at the same time.
I agree.
So
I feel like we're getting to the end.
Yes, I agree.
But also it's getting better.
Yeah, I would agree with that. There's more like layers of stuff now, which, you know, is to be expected at this point in the season, which is good. And that brings us to the next time on, because the next time on looks like a lot of drama, and it looks like none of the creepy bums that we have to deal with. So it should be a jam-packed episode.
Well, there's one that's an abusive person, but so Bilal and Shida are in New York City.
Woo!
And we can only assume that it is because they're there for the 90-day reunion.
Yeah, and while they were there for the 90-day reunion, they met with Shida's friend.
Yes, they met with Shida's friend, the one that she FaceTimed a while back.
She seems like a bitch.
And she says that Bilal is mean and rude.
Nah, he's just, you know, that's just how he is.
Like, literally, that's how he is. Andre and Libby are camping, and Libby seems like she wants to make up with the family, and Andre doesn't give a fuck.
Love it.
Jenny's, oh, we're back to Jenny and Submit, by the way. Miss them. Jenny's daughter and her partner are in India. And Jenny's daughter wants to see if Submit's intentions are good.
And Jenny also mentions how Submit's family will never accept her.
But Jenny's daughter accepts Submit.
Correct.
Usman meets his new potential and compliments her and gets her number. He goes, I really didn't want to come here, but then I saw how pretty you were. And I was like, damn, can I get your number? And me and Jonathan watched this separately. I think I gasped like 4 times.
Yeah. Like,
ugh. I was like,
wow.
And then lastly, Yara meets Jovi's friend, who he like traveled all over Europe with. And Jovi says he would have never went to Ukraine and met Yara if it wasn't for this friend. And then his friend's like, yo, you remember those girls?
Like, what a fucking idiot. Like, yo, he's married and has a child. Like, do not bring that up, you idiot.
Because men are fucking stupid.
Not wrong.
Any additional? What do you rate this episode?
What would I rate this episode? Say like a 7, I think. It had some good stuff in there.
I like it. I think I'd give it a 7 too. A 6 or a 7.
Yeah. It had some good stuff in there that was needed, I would say.
Anything else?
Anything else? I don't believe so. I think that pretty much covers it. I feel like we're at that point of the season where we're starting to get into the nitty gritty, so to say, of some stuff here. So I think that's good. I'm excited for the next couple episodes.
I would say we're kind of getting to the end of the season. I would say there's maybe 4 episodes left.
Yeah, I was going to say 5.
Yeah, plus 2 part tell all, always. Yep. That's it. For us, sorry again about last week. I know we were kind of MIA, but life sometimes grabs you by the gonads. So,
sure. Let's go with that.
I feel like an 80-year-old woman saying
another phrase that people say. There you go. There's
people
another
say
phrase
it all the
get.
Time.
There's another phrase.
Piss her a pot.
There you go. There you go.
I'm losing my mind, guys. All right. Thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. Babe, do you have anything to add?
No, I think that's pretty much it. Just thanks for everyone for listening, and we will see you back here next week.
Bye.